Now, that's the sound of the black-headed gull. We continue our mini-series in which Mooney Goes Wild reporter and biologist Terry Flanagan highlights some of the wide-ranging research currently being carried out here in Ireland. Every new generation of researchers stands on the shoulders of giants, using the understanding gained by major thinkers from the past to learn more about the natural world and build our body of knowledge into the future. So far in the series, we've concentrated on researchers who've studied a topic with the aim of achieving an academic reward, a master's degree or maybe a PhD. Today, we feature something a little different, as we're following a research project that won't lead to a formal qualification. Brian Burke works full-time with Birdwatch Ireland, but for the last few years, he spent his holidays on Loch Ree, where in conjunction with the National Parks and Wildlife Service, he's managed to trap and ring hundreds of black-headed and lesser black-backed gulls. He's done this out of personal interest and to learn more about their lifestyle and particularly their movements.
They're terns, I think, Brian. It's not what we're listening to.
Yeah, so you can hear the terns there just flying over and back over the sea, and just below them then there's a good big flock of oyster catchers as well.
I can see them there. They're on the ground. There must be, what, a couple of hundred of them?
Yeah, I'd say 600-700 at least, yeah.
But we haven't come to see either of those tonight. We've come to see the gulls.
Yeah, so just here in front of us actually there's a couple of hundred gulls just roosting, so just kind of sitting on the sand and just resting.
And you've been studying these now for the summer?
Yeah, so this year with the National Parks and Wildlife Service in Roscommon and Longford, we went out and we ringed 300 chicks of black-headed gulls on Loch Ree. So we want to kind of get an idea of where they're going and what they get up to.
Now, you're not doing this as part of a project or a thesis, a master's or anything like that?
No, so my day job is with Birdwatch Ireland, and during the summer I take a couple of days off and I go and I ring some birds.
Now, why are you doing that?
Just out of kind of personal interest and an appreciation, I suppose, of Loch Ree, the fantastic gull colonies that are there, and just wanting to learn more about them.
And you've done this last year as well, am I right?
Yeah, so last year we started off with a lesser black-backed gull ringing project. So myself, the rangers and a few other interested people around Loch Ree, we ringed 300 lesser black-backed gull chicks. Mm-hmm. And then this year, as well as doing the lesser black-backed gulls, we took on a black-headed gull ringing project as well.
And it's the black-headed gulls we're looking at here now, except that as I look at them through the scope, they're not really black.
No, so if you look at them from a distance, they definitely look like they have a black head. But actually, depending on what time of the year you're looking at them, they'll either have a brown head or a white head. So their breeding plumage, they this lovely chocolatey brown head. They lose that in kind of the autumn, and then in the winter it's this white head.
Now, I've just seen some of them here, some of the black-headed gulls, and you have them ringed, and I can see the rings on them. Explain the rings.
So the ring, it's a small plastic ring, and the idea is that it can be read from a distance. So it's got a four-number code on it. So if you're out here with your binoculars, with a camera, or with a telescope, and you see a gull with that four-letter or four-number code, and you read the colour, you see the colour of the ring as well, and you can look them up online, and essentially you'll find my contact details or the contact details of whoever rings that bird that you're looking at. You can get in touch with them, and you can tell them where you saw that bird.
So even though you ringed a lot of birds in County Roscommon, we're here tonight in Sandymount Beach. And
yeah.
You're seeing the same birds.
Yeah, that's the thing. So one of the reasons myself and MPWS wanted to do this project is essentially to see where these birds go. So these birds all hatched on Loch Ree this summer in June. Took a couple of weeks to fledge, and then it's kind of where do they go after that. So we know from other ringing projects that suggest, you know, they might move further south, maybe over to the west coast, to Galway or to somewhere like Limerick. Actually, the first two birds that have been seen from our project have been on a beach in County Meath, and I happened to see one on Bull Island 2 weeks ago in Dublin.
That must give you great pleasure to see it again, because I'm sure the chances of you seeing a bird, let's say you've ringed 300 birds in a summer, what are the chances of you seeing even one of those birds next year, the year after?
So with a gull that lives quite a long time, it could be a good chance, but it depends on where you go and where that bird goes. But it's really satisfying to spot a bird with a colour ring on it, to read that ring, and, you know, to get the information back. But it's even more satisfying when it's one of your birds that you were literally holding in your hand a couple of weeks before.
And will they migrate in the autumn time? Will they travel abroad?
Some of them will go abroad. Some of them will just go to different parts of Ireland. Some of them might even stay on Loch Ree, and they're the kind of questions we want to answer. The lesser black-backed gulls, which we were ringing last year as well as this year, they are our only species of gull that's truly migratory. So we've had birds that we ringed on that little island kind of in the middle of Loch Ree, kind of Longford-Roscommon border. And those birds have turned up in England, in Spain, in Portugal, in Morocco, in Senegal, and even in the Gambia.
Did you expect that, or did you know that?
So a lot of these studies have been done in other countries. They've been done in the UK. We have much fewer ringers in Ireland, so these kind of projects haven't been replicated in Ireland. So we can't assume, essentially, that what's true in the UK, what these birds do in you know, they're in the UK is the same as what they do in Ireland. So that's what we're trying to figure out. Is it the same? Is it slightly different? And, you know, where are those differences?
Now, as I say, we're here in Sandymount Beach. The tide is out. It's probably half a kilometre or so there before we can actually get to the sea. There's a lot of traffic behind us. There's air traffic above us. Yet when you look through the scope, all of these birds, all of the flocks, they look very relaxed. They must be quite used to it.
This part of Dublin Bay especially is a really fantastic site. Just the sheer size of it, there's loads of space, and essentially those birds know, because they're out in the middle of the sand there, that if there's a predator coming, they'll see it coming. So with that in mind, they can get habituated to the noise of planes, the noise of people playing volleyball here in the background, of people walking up and down. They get used to it.
I must say the black-headed gulls, they're a really, really pretty bird.
Yeah, I think they're one that people really underestimate. So actually during both the summer and the winter, they're our most common gull species. You get them inland, you get them along the coast, and a lot of people are probably walking by them, you know, every day of the year and not even realising it, or taking the time to maybe stop and look at them and realise the journey that these birds might have undertaken.
Okay, I'm just going to have a look through the scope here, because as I look through it, I can see that they look as if they're feeding, are they?
Some of them are feeding. They're kind of pattering around in the as the water comes in there, and they're going for some of the invertebrates that are coming up through the sand. The majority of them, though, are just resting, so they would have been feeding during the day. Some of them probably spent the day in some of the parks maybe around Dublin, and they come here as a safe space to roost, to rest. So they've got the safety in numbers here all together, and again, they're in a spot where if a predator comes, they'll see it coming.
And do you come here at a particular time as regards the tide? Because the tide is coming in now. It's actually coming in pretty fast. We can see it here behind us.
Yeah, so it kind of depends on the site. Some sites you want to go to at low tide because maybe the rocks or the bit of beach is exposed and the birds have somewhere to rest. For Sandymount Strand and South Dublin Bay in particular, you want to come on a rising tide or a high tide, because if you don't, there's essentially, you know, it's 2 kilometres by 4 or 5 kilometres nearly in size. So there's a huge amount of area that the birds can be spread out amongst. You know, you want them kind of pushed up a bit closer together and within reach. So yeah, a rising tide or a high tide pushes them up a bit closer to you.
Now, the tide will probably come in here, what, in the next 2 hours or so. What will the birds do then?
Some of them, they'll decide to stay on dry land. So essentially, there'll be little kind of islands nearly in the bay, and they'll just stand on them. A lot of them will be just as happy to sit on the water and just wait until the tide goes out a little bit again.
Okay, so from your ringing in the last year or two, tell us, what have you learned?
I suppose the Black-Headed Gull project has only started this year. Already we're surprised that the first two birds we had didn't go west. They didn't follow the Shannon to the coast. They came over to the east coast. So that's a nice start to the project for sure. And with the lesser black-back gulls, it's been really, really interesting to see the journeys that they've undertaken. And actually, there's another lesser black-back gull ringing project that started last year on Cape Clear. So we have this inland project, which is our project on Lough Ree, and we have a coastal one in Cape Clear in County Cork. So it's been interesting to see the commonalities and the differences between those two ringing projects. They're the same species, they're both in Ireland but in very different habitats, and just seeing the kind of what's the same and what's different.
You mentioned commonality there. How common is it for guys like you to go out and do research like this? Because I presume you're going to have to go, you're going to have to get a license, then you have to devise a project, you have to work in, I presume, with the likes of the National Parks and Wildlife Service or Birdwatch Ireland. There's a lot of time, a lot of effort goes into it. Are there many people doing this?
No, so there are a lot of trained and licensed ringers in the UK. In Ireland, there's very few. There's probably 100 or less. And if you whittle that down to the ones that are quite active and maybe the ones that are interested in gulls rather than waders or passerines and garden birds, it's fewer again. So there's very few of us in Ireland. We're kind of lacking a lot of the data for Irish birds that they have for the same birds in the UK. So there is a bit of work involved, but it's really, really rewarding, and it's, you know, you feel like you're making a contribution to the conservation of these birds in Ireland.
And where would you hope to take these two projects?
Gulls live for quite a long time, so black-headed gulls will come back and breed when they're 2 or 3 years old. The lesser black-back gulls will be kind of 4 or 5 before they come back to breed. I hope to continue these projects with other ringers and with the National Parks and Wildlife Service for many years into the future. The longer the project goes on, the more questions that are relevant to their conservation that we'll be able to answer.
Well, will the first couple of years, the first 2, 3, 4, 5 years, be somewhat frustrating because you won't see these birds? They will have left and they won't come back to actually breed.
Yeah, but that's kind of interesting too. So the lesser black-back gulls, again, which undertake that long-distance migration. I actually got emails today from 2 different people in 2 parts of Portugal to say birds that I ringed June 2018 we're kind of hanging around in Portugal now at the moment. So it's interesting to see what they do. But yeah, I'm absolutely really looking forward to seeing them back on Lough Ree in the breeding colony and to see, you know, to see them kind of.
Yeah, but you
forward.
Don't actually have to see them back because, as you say, you're getting results from Portugal, so you know what's actually happening to the birds, even though they're not breeding.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, that's the beauty of colour ringing, and you know, it doesn't, it's not expensive like a lot of the high level tracking technology. It's, you know, it's quite simplistic really. It's bird has this little bit of plastic on its leg. It's just like wearing a watch for the bird. They don't even notice it. But that's someone in Portugal, someone in Morocco, or even the Gambia, you know, is looking out through their telescope and seeing that bird that we ringed, you know, a couple of weeks or a couple of months previously. It's really fascinating. And the strength of these projects, you know, it's only as good as the ringers and the ring readers who are out there, you know, the people in all those countries and all the different parts of Ireland who are taking their evenings to go out and look for these ringed birds. We're very grateful to them.
And of course it works in reverse too, because you're here and you're looking and they say, oh, there's a bird, I didn't ring that bird, but I'll take a note of it and I'll get to see who does own that bird, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm you know, I'm here kind of selfishly looking for my own black-headed gulls. I have seen black-headed gulls from Norway, from Poland. I've seen some med gulls that I think are from Belgium. I'm going to have to look them up. And as well as that, there's the oyster catchers we mentioned earlier. So I've got read a good few rings that are part of our Birdwatch Ireland's Dublin Bay Birds project.
So in total tonight, how many ring birds have you seen?
I think I've seen around 20, and there's still a little bit of daylight left, so I might get a few yet.
That's an incredible number. I didn't think you'd get anywhere near that.
This is a really good time, so all these birds are finished breeding. And, you know, a lot of them hang out on these beaches, you know, for a couple of weeks. Some of them will move further on. Some of them will stay in Dublin for the winter. But, yeah, this is a really good time for ring reading.
So I presume they're just here fattening up, getting ready to head off.
Yeah, that's essentially it. They're not tied to the breeding colony and they're thinking of maybe migrating or setting up shop somewhere for the winter. So they're feeding up, they're resting and got to think about their next move.
And as we finish off, I see the tide is coming closer and closer to us. So I suppose we're going to have to move, but you're going to continue on spotting some birds, yeah?
Yeah, a little bit of daylight left, so I'm going to make the best of it, absolutely.
Thank you very much indeed, Terry. And for more information on this story or anything else you heard on today's programme, visit the website rte.ie/Mooney. That's all we have time for. My thanks to all of our contributors today, Aidan Ilana, Richard Collins, Ferdy Marnell and Simon Barrow, to researcher John Riley, our producer Anna Leddy, and on sound we had Jamie Doyle. Until next time, goodbye.
And Mooney Goes Wild was presented by Derek Mooney.